These different feasts that we have, that we celebrate after Easter, they're not just for show, right? They're not just because, oh, there's some sort of like theologians needed some work to do, so they figured out something, and then that's why we have to celebrate these different kinds of things. All these feasts, they have a meaning for us, for the way that we live, right? For telling us who we are called to be, how we are to live the Christian life, right? Certainly we know, right, the great feast of Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that through his death and through that resurrection that we receive this possibility for forgiveness for our sins, right? And then as we go through that Easter season, right, we celebrate the Ascension, and we talked about that on that Feast of the Ascension, where when Jesus Christ ascends into heaven, body and soul, that has meaning for us because it teaches us something about the resurrection of the body. Remember, it teaches us that because Jesus has his human body in heaven, that is where we are called to follow. He's our leader, our model, and example. So that is what is promised for us in the resurrection of the dead. That in heaven we are not just sort of spirits that float about, but at the end of all things we receive these bodies that are restored and glorified, and we are reunited with them. This feast of Pentecost that we just celebrated, right, this coming of the Holy Spirit upon us, is that opening for all of us about this life in the Spirit. It fulfills these promises of Jesus, which we hear about in the gospel today, and it fulfills that promise that he made to make sure that we know that he is with us always, and that we are not alone, even though he has ascended into heaven, that is something that remains with us and continues to give us access to him, continues to give us that relationship with him. And so too then, this feast of the Most Holy Trinity, right, where we get all three in one, all these different persons of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we celebrate this, and it's not just meant to be sort of like a nice theological mystery, a nice little thing that we say that we believe, but this idea that God is Trinity is meaningful for us. It's meaningful for us about God, about who he is, certainly, but also meaningful again about how we are to live. How we are to live. Think about what it is that Jesus says in the gospel. He says a couple things about the Spirit, and there should be some echoes there for us, right? And that's how we hear about God. That's how we learn more about who God really is. Remember, Jesus, all throughout his public ministry, all throughout his life, he says, look, I'm not here to do my works. I'm here to do the works of the Father. I'm here to do the will of the one who sent me, right? So when Jesus comes about in this life, yeah, he's trying to make clear that he's not doing any of these things on his own, but because of this relationship that he has with the Father, because of that relationship, he says already before, everything that the Father has is mine, that everything that I say to you is from the Father, that I don't do anything on my own. He points us towards that really close relationship that he has with the Father, right? And then now he's talking about the Spirit, and he uses some interesting and kind of similar language, right? He says, now what the Spirit will not declare anything on its own, but the Spirit will take from what is mine and declare it to you, right? So he points to that close union that he has with the Spirit. He points to that close union that he has with the Spirit. He says, anything that the Spirit is going to give to you, that is already something that comes from me. And where does anything that comes from me come from? It comes from the Father, right? So we start to see that image of this closeness of God. We start to see this image of the unity that is there in God, even though we hear about the Father and about the Son and about the Holy Spirit. We hear Jesus talk about, he says, when the Spirit comes, he will glorify me, right? And he says, what's his job, right? What does Jesus talk about as his own job? What about his own mission? He talks about how he is there to glorify the Father, to make sure that the Father's name is glorified. You remember that part in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, Father, glorify your name. And the voice comes out from heaven, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again, right? That the Father is glorified in Jesus, and then the Spirit also, Jesus is glorified by the works of the Spirit too, right? And then that's the thing, right? It's that Spirit that is sent upon each of us. Jesus is giving this discourse before Pentecost, right? We've already had liturgically, we've already celebrated Pentecost, but we call that to mind again, that if we see in Jesus and in the Father and in the Spirit this great and deep and profound union, this life this deep and abiding life and love that they all share together, that all things they have in common together, if you will, right? All things they keep together within themselves, and they always act together too, right? We heard in that first reading about how the Spirit was there present before the world's creation, before there were clouds in the sky, right? The Spirit was already there present with the Father. And we see that too in the book of Genesis, yeah? That Spirit is there present at the very beginning, right? So there's very close and eternal union of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit. And that is the union that we are invited into. That is the union that we are invited into. And that's really the main thing about our faith. The main thing about our faith is that we are invited into this deep union of life and of love with God, right? The main point of our faith is not that, hey, here are 10 commandments and you have to follow them exactly, otherwise you get punished, right? That's not the main point of our faith. The main point of our faith is not, hey, we send a collection basket around every week and we need you to make sure that you put money in there, right? The main point of our faith is, hey, we have these buildings that we built and we like them, and so we want to make sure that we have these always, and we want to maintain these buildings and these facilities. All that stuff is fine, right? All that stuff is good, yeah? But it's not the central thing about who we are and who we are called to be. The central thing is to be caught up into this relationship that God has, if you will, within himself. That relationship, that love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that is what we are called into. And so, we have these sacraments, right? We have these things that God gives us to help practice our faith so that we can be caught up, so that we can be united closer together. And not just individually united and closer together to God, but we also have this example. If the Trinity, if God is this communion of persons of Father and Son and Spirit, then it also tells us and indicates to us how we are supposed to live here, how we are supposed to live our lives here. We are supposed to be people of communion. We are supposed to be people of relationship. We are supposed to be building these bridges with one another to others who are in need. We are supposed to be growing closer together all the time. Nobody can be a Christian by themselves. Nobody can be a Christian by themselves, but we need community. That's why the church tells us, hey, gather together for Mass, right? Again, not because we need your money to have the buildings and all these kinds of things. The church says gather together for Mass. Why? Because that's how we express who God is, because God is this communion of persons. That's why Jesus tells us, right, do these works of mercy. Go out and feed those who are hungry. Go out and clothe those who are naked. Go out and be merciful to those who are sinners, just as I have been merciful to you. Why? Because that's how we build those bonds of relationship with others. Yeah? And to do all of that work sometimes, and to do that real work of communion, can feel exhausting, right? To do that work of communion can feel exhausting. It can feel overwhelming at times, right? I will tell you, right, I've been here not quite 2 years now. There are many of you whose names I still don't know, right? There are many of you who I've met and I've forgotten your name, and I'm not proud to say that, okay? But to build these relationships, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes repetition, and it's something that is hard to do, right? But that's the saving grace here, is that all of this building up of community and building up of relationships, we don't do just on our own strength. But we do that with the strength that comes to us from God. So that's always something that we should be aware of in our lives. When we find that temptation to kind of isolate ourselves, yeah? When you find that temptation to say, well, look, I really don't have the time, I don't have the energy to care about anybody else, I don't have the time to give to others who are in need, I don't have the time for other people, I need to focus inward only, yeah? Sometimes that can be a good and healthy thing, but we also need to be mindful and watchful of it, so that we don't completely turn inward, you know? When we find ourselves saying, well, you know what, I like to pray better at home, and it's more comfortable because I can stay in my pajamas, or, you know, I don't really feel like I need to go to church on Sundays because I like to work in my garden, and God is, you know, part of, he created nature, and so it's a way that I can worship him, all these kinds of things. When we find that coming up within ourselves, again, that temptation to be isolated, to not be drawn together into the community, that's something that we have to be watchful for. Because it's not who God is. God is communion. God is love. God is relationship. So again, not just something for theologians to write a lot of books about here, about what the Trinity is, but also something very practical for us, to be people of communion, to be people of relationship. And again, that great and beautiful news that we don't do it on our own strength, right? But we do that by the strength that comes from God. That's why we gather here to receive this sacrament, which we call communion also, not just for ourselves, not just for our own personal communion with God, but also for our communion with one another, also for our communion with one another, and for the strength that we need to draw others into that life, into that love as well.